By way of explaining why this is so, let me tell you something Admiral Yamamoto Izuroku once said during an evening at the Ichiriki Tea House. I can't pretend I was well acquainted with Admiral Yamamoto, who's usually described as the father of the Japanese Imperial Navy, but I was privileged to attend parties with him on a number of occasions. He was a small man, but keep in mind that a stick of dynamite is small too. Parties always grew noisier after the admiral arrived. That night, he and another man were in the final round of a drinking game and had agreed that the loser would go to buy a condom at the nearest pharmacy, just for the embarrassment of it, you understand, not for any other purpose. Of course, the admiral ended up winning, and the whole crowd broke into cheers and applause. "It's a good thing you didn't lose, Admiral," said one of his aides. "Think of the poor pharmacist looking up to find Admiral Yamamoto Izuroku on the other side of the counter." Everyone thought this was very funny, but the admiral replied that he'd never had any doubt about winning. "Oh, come now," said one of the geisha. "Everyone loses from time to time, even you, admiral." "I suppose it's true that everyone loses at some time," he said, "but never me." Some in the room may have considered this an arrogant thing to say, but I wasn't one of them. The admiral seemed to me the sort of man who really was accustomed to winning. Finally, someone asked him the secret of his success. "I never seek to defeat the man I am fighting," he explained. "I seek to defeat his confidence. A mind troubled by doubt cannot focus on the course of victory. Two men are equals, true equals, only when they both have equal confidence." I don't think I realized it at the time, but after Hatsumomo and I quarreled over my journal, her mind, as the admiral would have put it, began to be troubled by doubt. She knew that under no circumstances would Mother take her side against me any longer, and because of that, she was like a fabric taken from its warm closet and hung out of doors where the harsh weather will gradually consume it. If Mameha were to hear me explaining things in this way, she would certainly speak up and say how much she disagreed. Her view of Hatsumomo was quite different from mine. She believed Hatsumomo was a woman bent on self-destruction, and that all we needed to do was to coax her along a path she was certain to follow in any case. Perhaps Mameha was right, I don't know. It's true that in the years since my Mizuage, Hatsumomo had gradually been afflicted by some sort of disease of the character, if such a thing exists. She'd lost all control over her drinking, for example, and of her bouts of cruelty, too. Until her life began to fray, she'd always used her cruelty for a purpose, just as a samurai draws his sword, not for slashing at random, but for slashing at enemies. But by this time in her life, Hatsumomo seemed to have lost sight of who her enemies were, and sometimes struck out even at Pumpkin. From time to time during parties, she even made insulting comments to the men she was entertaining. And another thing, she was no longer as beautiful as she'd once been. Her skin was waxy-looking, and her features puffy. Or perhaps I was only seeing her that way. A tree may look as beautiful as ever, but when you notice the insects infesting it and the tips of the branches that are brown from disease, even the trunk seems to lose some of its magnificence.